Well, I want to talk a little bit today about the love, because when I was teaching, I felt a lack of revelation in that area, in the atmosphere. So I said, okay, we need to teach on that a little bit. Thank you, Jesus, for discerning of spirits. Amen. So we're going to look at 1 John. You got me on? 1 John chapter 3. We'll start with verse 1. So I've been praying about how do we bring that revelation, because we can say God loves you. Yes, you know he loves you. He gave his son for you. And people still not really perceive it, especially if they didn't have loving parents, if they've never experienced unconditional love, if they've never experienced support, if they've never been girded up, if they've never been strengthened, that it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to be here tomorrow, you know? We're going to go eat, we're going to fellowship, we're going to be best friends. There's just some areas that I need done. If not, we got to get somebody else. It don't have nothing to do with love. Does everybody, did that kind of make that more plain Sunday? Okay. So I said, God, help me to, like his word says a lot in here, how do we demonstrate, or his love was manifested, or we perceive his love by this. So that's my goal today, is that maybe we could see a little more how his love was manifested. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So we see right here what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's one way. Is I'm no longer a servant, I'm a son. I'm a son of God. And verse 3 says that we have hope in this. And because I know, because I'm getting the revelation that I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, I have hope in that. I have confidence in that. And so I want to be purified. I want to please him. But if you don't know someone loves you, then it becomes works. Anything that they're wanting from you becomes works. It becomes duty. It becomes law. But if you know, that's why it was so easy to please my mom, even though I didn't always understand. And sometimes I may not have felt loved. But I knew that she loved me, because I saw her actions. I saw that she didn't quit the ministry. I saw that she gave her life for the ministry. I saw that she must love CrossFit to be able to stay here when she was offered other options. And no, I'm just going to stay here and take this city that she wasn't even born in. This is not where we're from. We're from Louisiana. So she demonstrated the love of God by giving her life when there wasn't a lot in it for her, you know. Seemingly, but I know that there was, because we see the fruit of it now, and the fruit of that will go through the generations. So verse 5, let's look at that one again. It says, and you know that he was manifested, God's love was manifested, to take away our sins, because in him is no sin. That's another way I know God loves me, because he came to take away my sin. Well, he didn't have any. There again, what was in that for him? What was in that for him to come down, to get out of the Hilton and go down to the Motel 6 and come to earth and, you know, be persecuted, be ridiculed, be mocked, be misunderstood, be unloved himself, be cast away himself, and to die for something that he didn't even do. And God, I'm starting to see his love for me more and more in these scriptures. So y'all see, he was manifest to take away our sins. We preach around here, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the enemy, and he did. But this verse says that he also came to take away my sin. Not just to cover it, not just to excuse it. It's gone. Everything that I ever did, everything I'm going to think about doing, because it's going to get under the blood, because I want God and I want to be purified. So anything that I, you know, that I'm checking myself or I wreck myself, as Charlotte says a lot, then that's going to be under the blood, and my sins are taken away, never to be remembered anymore. What kind of God? What kind of, did Buddha do that? Did these other gods do that? Did they come for my sins when they didn't deserve any punishment for them? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Verse 14, we're still in chapter 3, says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So I know that I'm a Christian because I can keep loving when you do me wrong. Because if I was in the world, it didn't take but one time of me hearing that I thought this girl was my best friend. And so a couple people said she was talking behind my back when me and Mike was having problems and spreading things that weren't true, really bad things, of me having an abortion, skinny dipping in the water, running around on my, you know, just things like that. And so but when my brother told me she said it, we were all on the bowling team, and so I just waited on her. And when she come out, I went right into her face, and I said, so-and-so, I said, I heard you were saying this. Oh, I would never talk about you. And I said, well, I might not have believed it, but when my brother told me, I knew it was true. And I said, so I appreciate it if we just act like we never knew each other. I said, from this day forward, we don't know each other. So, of course, she started stalking me, and that wasn't the right way to handle it, and try to get me fired and all these things in my job. But Mama, demonstrating the love of God, when it got real bad that she was chasing me down, running me off the road and things like that, when I had kids in the car, Mama said, just love her. She said, don't try to pay her back, because in my flesh, I want to go find her, tie her to the tree. You put my kids in danger. So I'm just saying, without him, there's no love there to forgive that kind of wrong to me, that you would try to get somebody with three kids fired that hadn't done anything but confronted you and didn't let you be a hypocrite, you know. But at the same time, I operate in my flesh. So I'm just saying that because of his love, that we can love now, you know. We can love, and we can quit being traitors and betrayers. And I don't know if you were that, but that's what the world offers, isn't it? A bunch of strife. But when I gave it to God, everything she tried to put on me happened to her, and I wasn't even saved. But I listened to godly counsel. And I listened to her because I saw her love. I saw Pastor Pinson love. I saw her at First Assembly love. When she would operate in the gifts, and they'd go in the pastor's office and tell her they didn't want her in the church, and she would just love them. And because I saw that, it made me walk this gospel instead of that gospel, because there was a pull which one's right. But the love of God made me decide. It wasn't no spiritual gift made me decide the love of God, though. That made me decide, because she wasn't going around talking, you know. She was loving. Thank God for people in the faith that show us the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. So we know we pass from this death unto life because we love the brethren. Verse 16, hereby perceive we, there again, how do we perceive the love of God? How do we know his love was manifested? Hereby perceive we the love of God, who's shown us how, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But our focus is in how do I perceive that he loves me. He laid his life down for me when it wasn't his place to do that. He paid that ransom. Are we seeing more and more how he loves us? We're seeing it. Verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Isn't that awesome? And knoweth all things. Beloved, so he's calling us beloved. That's another way. I call my husband beloved. You know, I call my children beloved. I call y'all beloved because I love you, but it's just not normal to call people beloved. But that's another way to show the love of God, is he calls us beloved through his word. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So the more that I can understand his love for me, the more confident I'm going to be in him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing us. We don't have to do anything for it, Lord. We just accept it. We receive it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to be good enough. We don't even have to show that we're going to do our destiny. We don't have to do anything but to receive your love. And we just ask that you take the scales off our eyes so we can see your love in this ministry, so we can see how much you love us, God. Now let's look at chapter 4, verse 7. Well, I'll start with 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, for he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. One way to know if someone's in error is, do they operate in the love of God? Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So he demonstrates his love to me because he is love. And when he shows up, how many remember when you first got saved, what did you feel? I felt this overcoming presence of something I never felt before. All my sins, which are like scarlet, was washed away at that time, and just complete acceptance. So when he shows up, love shows up. Because he is love, and when he shows up, love shows up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we could just grasp your love, God. Every time your presence shows up, if we're feeling unloved, if we're feeling condemned, if we're feeling not good enough, we can just receive your love, because you're here and you are love. Amen. You are love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested. Here we go again. How is the love of God manifested? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Romans 5:19, that he came and he became a sinner so I could be free. You know, he took my sin. He died when I was yet a sinner, is what it said. Let's look at it. Romans 5:19. He came and died when I was still a sinner. So the love of God is manifested because he loves me when I don't deserve it. That's what I keep hearing. When I was a sinner, he loved me anyway. Wait a minute, I think I'm looking at the wrong one. I did. What's that scripture that says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ still loved me? 5:8. Okay. But God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated again in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So how did God show his love towards us? When we weren't doing right. When I wasn't doing right. Amen. Not because I was doing right, because I wasn't doing right. And he's like, that gal needs some love. That girl needs some love. She's never experienced love. Did y'all know that I don't remember one time? This is just my testimony, and there's many of them here. So no pity, but I never remember one time ever been told I love you from my parents. Not ever. I don't remember being hugged. So sometimes when people don't hug back real freely, they don't even know what that feels like, you know. And I'm real leery of hugs anyway because of manipulation, and a lot of people hug you. And if you feel a yucky thing when someone hugs you, it's because they're manipulating. I don't want to get off on that, but if you're hugging because you want something out of it, that's not love. It's not pure love. If you're going to hug, do it out of love. Don't do it out of nothing for you. Don't do it out of wanting something back. Don't do it out of control, because that's not how God would do us, is it? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his Son so I could live. Amen. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's not all about how much I do for him. It's about he loves me and became a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. In other words, when people, you know, we can't see God. And if I've never experienced love, how am I going to know he loves me? I get that initial feeling when I get saved, and every now and then I might feel his presence. But what about those in-between times? He says he's perfecting his love through us. And so the people can feel the love of God through us. And the more that we get confident in because if I don't know he loves me, then I can't share that love very good to other people. But the more revelation I get of how his love is manifested for me, then it's just going to flow out of me, because I understand that God's a spirit and that love is coming in me to manifest through others. Amen. Verse 12, let's read again. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So we're real confident when we know God loves us. And people can feel that, and they can sense it. And they sense that love, just because it's not going to just stay in us. It's going to flow out of us. So if we don't feel ourselves ever loving, maybe we don't know that he loves us. And so we just need to be taught. Amen. And we need to see it. We need to see the love of God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So love's going to give me boldness. But today I want us to see how his love's manifested in us. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. I can't love him until I know that he loves me. Until he imparts that love on the inside of me, I don't know what love is. So it's real hard to just love God without that. Amen. So God would just give you praise. We just see some of the ways that you manifested your love through us in 1 John, that you manifest your love for us. And we're just asking you that you give this church a revelation of your love, because I know that just teaching and going after destinies and going after purpose, that sometimes this teaching can get lost in that, and I'm just asking you to bring it back. That we can get confident in you, Lord, that we can get confident in knowing you and the power of your love, God. So we don't just do it out of duty. We don't do it out of works. We don't do it because we're beat into it. We do it because we love you, Lord, because we're compelled to obey you by the love of God. And I just thank you that the goodness of God brings me into repentance, Lord. We just give you praise. Give us a revelation of how your love is manifested. Thank you for it, God, that you gave your son. But we got to know that in our spirit, Lord. We got to know that past our mind, God, because we didn't see it. We weren't there. So it's got to come alive in us, Lord. It's more than just saying that. That you know, God loves you. How can you not know? Well, I don't know because I never experienced love, God. God, I'm asking you to give us this breakthrough today, Jesus. Give us this breakthrough in our ministry, the love of God. We just give you praise for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll quit trying to make people do right, God, like someone said the other day, a do right spirit. I think it was Julie in the altar Sunday. Just, you know, so we won't try to make people do right out of law, but we'll compel them through your love. Just seeing the love of God, just feeling the arms wrapped around the pureness of the love of God, where there's nothing in it for anybody, God, just pure love, Lord. We just give you praise for it, God. And God, we just, the ones that have pure love, people, but they didn't receive it, and they've done it, and they've done it, and they've done it, and the people didn't receive it because they didn't believe there wasn't nothing in it for that person. But there are those that operate out of pure love, and there isn't nothing in it for them, and they do really love, and they really are reaching out of love. And I'm just asking that the ones that fought that this isn't real, that rejection in their life, that would be disarmed through the love of God, and that would come down, where those walls that we build up, that one time someone act like they don't want us around, and we close up, walk away, and demand them to come beg us again and love us again and love us again and love us again. Because we can't perceive that someone will love us just for who we are, God. And I'm just asking you to to show us, Lord, to expose that in our life when we're reaching for someone to love us, and we're reaching and we're reaching and we're reaching and we're reaching and we're reaching, and what else can they do, God? What else can they do? They work with us and they work with us and they give us a chance again. And someone share with me what we're trying to get when we do that. You know that old saying, we be wanting a man to run over the mountaintops and run through the valleys and swim across the ocean for us. Well, what makes us do that? Because they can never fill it up. They can't fill, and pastors can't fill that up. And people can't fill that up if we just keep rejecting, but I see this all the time, Julie. We stay away because of rejection, and we give up our grandbaby, we give up our place in the body, we give up our destiny, because if somebody wants me, then surely they'll come around again. I said, why don't you just stay there? But see, when you feel all those rejections and you feel all those things of, like Mama used to say, you know, why don't they cook me something to eat? I said, well, they say that you tell them you don't like it. So when we feel that first rejection, we won't go again. Well, that's not on that person. That's on us. If our parents make us close down because we feel rejected because they don't let us in the scoop of what's going on, then we're just giving up our heritage. You know, when Mama died, she had certain things she wanted us kids to have, and not saying it properly, because I got in prayer and fasting, and I'm the only one that stood up for that land that she gave me. And God gave me a word. He said those four daughters of Zelophehad had four daughters, and they demanded their land. They demanded their inheritance. And so I went to my daddy, and I said, this is what she gave me, and said, this is mine, and this is the word God gave me. And then I had my brother came to see me about it, because poor, pitiful daddy that had all the money in the world, but in their eyes, he was struggling. But I didn't just give my inheritance away. I didn't just give my destiny away when men came and said, you want me to preach, because of rejection, because of feeling like, oh, they would rather have him. This is my inheritance. I'm not going to give my inheritance away because of rejection. But do y'all see that happens sometimes, that we give things away, because if they want us, then they'll say, we want to keep your baby, you know. But I just see that. I see that we give things up that's ours, because we don't want to be rejected. But if we know the love of God, then we can stand confident in that love. And you can reject me and reject me and reject me and reject me, but I'm going to do it for him, because I love him and he loves me. And I'm going to love you, but I don't have to have that. It's not based on if you accept me, if I pastor this church. It's based on, God, by your grace, do you still want to keep me here? And the day he don't, then he'll have me out here. You know what I'm saying? It's based on him. I could have gave that up. I could have gave it up at any time and said, this is too hard. I think they rather have this person. Let's call this so-and-so over here and let them pastor. So why do we give it up sometimes? Because of rejection. And we let people have our inheritance. We let them have it. Who wants to talk about it? Let's talk about it, Mommy.
Rejection will make you feel like you're in the way, or you're afraid of stepping on somebody else's boundaries because they're stronger willed than you are, or just fear confrontation, and you don't want to cause any, you don't want to be the one that goes and looks like that you're taking everything that is your land, and because that you're
no, you start telling me, because I'm in a place right now where, what you want to do for God? Okay, that's great. What do you want to do for God? Okay, this is what you want, and I can see five more things. Okay, let's do that. You want this for God? Oh, let's do that. Let's go to those jails. So, you know, I'm not reaching for that. So if you want that, then you're going to have to come say, Pastor, say at some time or other, because to keep making someone love and keep making them come back and come back and come back, it's rejection in our own hearts. And I remember I'd go to Mama and say, can I pray on Thursdays for souls? She didn't ever ask me. She never asked me. The only thing she ever asked me to do is, you be charge when I'm gone. But as far as any ministry in here, I would go to her and say, can I do the secretary? Can I do the tapes? I had a vision of the tapes and saw us put a dollar in and souls came out of hell. When she come back and made Sonia over the tape ministry, and it killed me. I went home and cried, because I thought, if I'm her daughter and I don't have anything in that ministry, I don't have any position, then something is wrong with me. So I went through years of that, years, and I just have to go pray it through. But then when I would feel passion for something, I would say, I would volunteer, or I'd go to her and, can I write the cards out for the souls? And I was in the Christian bookstore yesterday, and I remembered how I would just buy those cards and send them to everybody that ever walked in the church and say, we're so glad that you came to church. We enjoy worshiping with you. And then one day I did that for 2 or 3 years, and one day at a meeting, at a board meeting, she said, Sonia Carr, I want y'all to do the cards now. So everything that I tried to do, she stripped it from me, but it was the stripping that I needed for this position. And I see that now, but when you're going through it, it felt rejection. You know, I felt rejected. Even fasting, she'd send me home, and don't you got kids? And I remember one day leaving here, got in my car and sit there in the parking lot. Now, no, I didn't want to fast, but it was the rejection, because they had kids too, and she didn't tell any of them to go home. So I sit in that car, and I beat that steering wheel, and I said, God, my own mama don't even want me. You know, and then he would take me further back to where my daddy chose one child out of four, and it wasn't me, it was Donnie. So it's always deeper than that. But if we don't never quit searching for the love, for someone to accept us, someone to need us, someone to reach for us. You know, I did that for my husband for 20 years. I reached for him. What else can he give? You know, it gets to that point. What else was that man supposed to give for me? Well, that was in me. That was a need in me. because I didn't feel loved, because I never was told I was loved. I didn't have a father that, you know, spending time with me. So it gets to a point where that marriage is fixing a break, or you better start receiving what they've already done. And we got there, you know. I had to start receiving, and that's enough, you know. That was enough, and quit wanting him to go over the mountains for me and start getting that from God. And we got to do that with our pastors eventually. We got to quit needing them to come and say, can you do this for the ministry? No, come to me and say, can I do this for the ministry? Can I do this for the ministry? And I'll say, well, let's pray about a little more. That's great. That's so awesome, you know. But not out of rejection. Don't come out of rejection. Come out of wanting to help, not a need for you. Not to fulfill something in you. Amen? Like that. Because what that'll do, we'll be sitting home waiting and feel rejected. And won't know why they ain't come to us. Well, maybe it's time for you to reach. I mean, there's a point in life where somebody gets, they don't want to keep doing all the reaching, you know. Jesus. It's humbling to have to come and reach out. That's right. And Mom used to say things like that. She'd say, they want me to come to them because they want us to bow down to them. But if I have to bow to you to do your destiny, then I'm going to have to keep bowing to you. You know what I'm saying? And there was a grace period for that, but not forever, because there's other people that's willing to do it. And there's the time of it, too, that if you don't bow now, you will not bow on that platform. You will not bow with those kids. You won't bow if you don't do it now. You just won't. You'll be still needing that love, still needing that acceptance, still needing that approval, still making pastor come say, why ain't you doing that? That's rejection. It's keep pushing them buttons for someone to reject. And it's high maintenance. You know, that's really high maintenance. If you're trying to get a ministry going forward, then you don't want to have to deal with rejection issues over 16 years. You know, it's time to quit and us bow and say, if I'm rejected every time, I'm going to do this. If I'm rejected every time, I'm going to preach Sunday. If I'm rejected every time, I'm going to teach and I'm going to lead the prayer and I'm going to come in here at 12 and I'm going to do it because I'm doing it for him and I don't need anything. You know what I'm saying? I can't need anything. I can't be needy like that and always pulling for someone else to meet my rejection needs. I don't mean to sound harsh, but there's a day where that has to be closure in that. And God delivered me from rejection, and I'm not rejected anymore. Don't have to be that day. I refuse to give in and be a victim to this. I refuse it. That's where the day has to come to. I refuse to be a victim to rejection. I refuse to keep making someone bow to me. I refuse to keep pulling for that person to love me. I refuse to keep pulling on them to accept me. I refuse to keep looking for them to want me, God, and I get it from you, Jesus. We do not have to feel rejected and be rejected, because we can go to God and we can go to a person and say, go to Sister Kathy, you know, I'm just thinking of leadership. Go to Sister Barbara, and what can I do to help? And not be needy and be seedy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just give you. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. If something is bothering you, then it's probably to call on you. But see, this spirit won't humble itself. It won't bow down. It wants you to come to it. And it's been come to over and over and over. And if you continue to do that in any relationship, then they're still going to be needy next year. It doesn't stop. What's going to stop the needy is when they humble themselves when, just say for an example, this, when Mama was sick, I heard so many people say I didn't feel welcome out there. I felt pushed away. And at times I felt pushed away. I felt like I'd go in the house and I'm not leaving. I'd say, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay with Mama. Well, I'm not leaving. And so I have the choice to give up my Mama and not see her for the next 18 months while she's dying and walk away and let them have that. Or I sit there too then. But when we leave, we're doing it out of our need, not to help Mama. We're doing it out of our need. We're doing it out of our need for someone to pull me back in. Oh, we love you. We need you. I have a right to know about my Mama. But that rejection, what's going to happen is it pushes everybody away till when you're old, you don't have anybody. You ever seen people old and ain't had nobody no more? Because they kept pushing away and pushing away. Did that person want to be alone? No. But they just needed that so much. They needed somebody to shore them up so much that thing, spirit, eventually took everything from them to where they didn't have anything. But here we are trying to disarm it by just keep going back. Just keep going back to them kids. How y'all doing? Love you. Well, you should have been here yesterday. I needed this. I love you. You know, here's some groceries. Come back next week. Michelle and I didn't have any relationship when Mama told her to be the one to not leave me. And she did not. And she'd come around and she'd call until those walls started coming down. And I hate that the daughter had to do it, but that's what happened. And now we're best friends, you know. So you can win this battle. But it's up to you if you want to let these spirits have it. And that rejection is pushing away and pushing away. And sometimes it's worth it. I heard a man of God say, don't fight a battle. Don't ever fight another battle that you're not going to get anything out of. Sometimes it's not worth it. If you got five people willing to do the job, it's not worth it. I mean, I'm sorry. Sometimes it is. I heard T.D. Jakes say he took his wife to a restaurant and that woman didn't know she didn't know the money that walked in, apparently. Because she said, you can sit over there. And then he forgot his debit card and he thought, well, I'm going to give her another chance. Then she's rude at the table. What do you want? And he looked at his wife and said, she don't want my money. Why? Because he has options. But rejection, even hearing that word, you know, to make you go home and be like, well, they don't need me. I just won't do nothing for God. That's our choice these days. But I'm going to do something for God. And if I get rejected every time, I'm going to get up and do it again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I don't want to keep pulling on this spirit today because those people need to humble themselves and say, I want my destiny. What do I need to do? And if they're not willing to do that, there's no sense in going forward in their destiny. Because if they don't bow now, they won't bow. Do y'all got that revelation? Okay. Well, God, we just thank you for prayer today. And thank you for coming in. Thank you for having your way. Thank you for your love that I get my acceptance and value from you. And I just give you praise for it. In Jesus' name.